Good morning, Crossroads Church. Welcome. Will you go ahead and stand with us? We're going to read from Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. Here, the scripture contrasts two kinds of people. The person who puts their trust in mankind, in human flesh, and then the person who puts their trust, their hope, and their confidence in the Lord. And scripture uses a word picture here to describe both of those. So I want you to listen and watch for that. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, and read the yellow portions of scripture with me. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. Isn't that beautiful? The person that puts their trust, their hope, and their confidence in the Lord. It reminds me of a passage where scripture contrasts the man who builds his house on sand and the person who builds his house on the rock, right? And we are getting ready to sing, If the Lord Builds the House, and it is our prayer for you today that you choose to put your trust and your hope and your confidence in the Lord. Sing with us.
Built up my own name, but the walls couldn't stand. I've trusted my own strength, but it was sinking sand. So I put my ruins into your hands and watch you restore them like only you can. 'Cause if the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. When it's built on His name, there's nothing gonna shake this ground. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. Ooh, the bricks may be wet.
Nobody can.
when it's built on His name. There's nothing gonna shake this ground. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. When it's built on His name, there's nothing gonna shake this ground. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down.
If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down.
Just the way I am, He made the whole world with His hands. God made
Mom said I'm doing what you do. I'm gonna share your love with the world.
Boy, isn't that great? Ready, set. Move. Amen. All right. I tell you, they got more energy than I got, but I love it, I tell you. And it's good. I want to say good morning to all the Crossroads members of church and welcome all those guests that are here. I have a couple of them here ourselves today, and it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I tell you, this was the future praise team that was set before you. And I tell you, if our praise team, our regular praise team, gets any better, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the rapture. I really am. Woo. But anyway, I want to welcome you here. And today's an exciting day, isn't it? It's the third and the last, not that it's the last, Pastor, but it's the third and the last of our series of talking about believe, you know, when we believe, you know. And we all, you know, I messed it up, didn't I? Okay. Lies we believe and the truths that set us free. Amen. And we all know that the devil's the one that's a liar, and he's trying to tempt us up as being, even as Christians, he wants to tempt us up. And we've been looking through 1 John 2:16, or that's where I've been taking it through, and talking about the three things that the devil plays with. Even though we are saved, the devil tempts us to trip us up. And that was the lust of the flesh was the first. And that's the worldly desires that we all still have, even though we get saved. It's that devil trying to tempt us back and going back into the worldly desires. The second one was the lust of the eyes. And I told last week that we need to have a covenant with our eyes and everything. But it's the truth that sets us free. You're either going to live in the sensual side, the immoral side, or you're going to have a battle with the spiritual side. And God wants you to use your spiritual eyes, okay, to set you free. And then today we're going to learn about, Pastor Ronnie's going to talk about the pride of life. And talking about the pride of life, when you look at it, you're looking at it, and the devil wants to see with the things that you look at and you see, then you take it in, and it plays with the passions of that old desire sometimes, if we allow it to, and it stirs up the old flesh. And then if you're not careful, you fall into that pride of life. The pride of life is having that wanting to be independent of God. In other words, you're wanting to have your own way rather than the will of God in your life. And when that does, what happens, then you begin to fall. But God has given us the truth. He's given us the truth that sets us free. And it's up to us to know the truth that sets us free. And the truth is not only the Word of God, but the truth is Jesus Christ. Amen? The truth personified. So as we look at that, I begin to think pride of life. You know, what am I going to say about the pride of life where we want to have our own ways rather than God's ways? And I had a story, a devotion this week, this month rather, in PowerPoint, Jack Graham. And it talked about, it said this, runs along with the prodigal son in Luke 15. It says, years ago, a young man left angry from his home outside of Chicago. He and his father had harsh words and swore he would never come back. He did his own thing for several years, but he always wanted to go back home. So he wrote a letter to his mother that said, Mother, I want to come home, but Father said, don't ever come back, and I don't know if I can come back. So he asked his mother to do something strange. He said, if Father will let me come home, have him tie a white handkerchief in the tree out front. And when I come by on the train, I'll see it and I'll know whether to get off. Well, the boy was sweating all the way home, but as the train rounded the bend, he peered out of the window, and to his amazement, on every branch was a white piece of cloth. His father had taken every bed sheet and pillow in the house and ripped them up and tied them on a tree as to say, welcome home. You know, it reminds me, this might be dating me a little bit, but back in 1973, of Tony Orlando and Don, they came out with a song, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree. How many of you remember that? Okay, well, that story was somewhat similar, and I think it kind of goes along with that prodigal son, and it talks about a man who was in bondage. He was in prison for over 3 long years, and he didn't know whether his loved one would welcome him back. So he wrote a letter, told her to tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Well, in this case, it wasn't the train. It was on a bus, and as he toured around the house, it wasn't one ribbon, it wasn't 2 ribbons, but 100 ribbons tied around that old oak tree. Well, I want you to know this morning, I don't know, you may be here and you may be a Christian, but you've gotten out of the way, away from God. But I want you to know that's just exactly how God is. He's such a loving and caring way, a God, that he has provided a way to come back home, just like the prodigal son. When the prodigal son ran away, the father was always waiting. He was standing there waiting. In fact, he ran to him once he seen him. Now, I want you to know, if you're here today and you're a Christian, maybe you're just like, and we've all been tempted, we've all backslidden in some state. I don't like to use that word backslidden too much, but we fall back away from God. And I want you to know that God is near you, and I hope you don't let pride keep you from coming to him today. You know, you can always come back. You can rededicate your life. If you're lost, you can come to Christ. If only we repent of our sins, God is there waiting for you right now today. And when Pastor Ronnie gets done preaching the message today, let Jesus, let the Word of God penetrate your heart, and don't let pride stop you from doing what you know you need to do, and that's to come back home. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you provided a way, the truth that sets us free. We thank you that you sent your only begotten Son to die in our place, in my place, Lord, for a wretch like I. Lord, you said that if I only believe, that and I could come back home to you. And Lord, I thank you, Lord. I've messed up many times, even in my walk with you. But Lord, you've always been there. And Lord, I just pray for this message as the song are being sung. May we listen to the words. May it penetrate our heart. And as Pastor Ronnie preaches, Lord, let it penetrate our heart and help us not to let pride get in the way, because you are the one that can set us free and to come home to you. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen.
You stand and sing with us, The Father's House.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. My story isn't over, my story's just begun. Failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. No, failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does.
Ooh, lay your burden. shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house.
All right, church, this next bridge I need you to sing with me, all right? Find home. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Prison doors swing wide, the dead come to life. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Miracles take place.
What he's done. what he's done, what he's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. Oh, my future is heaven. I praise God.
The kindness of mercy. so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God, you're so good.
Crossroads kids are dismissed.
All right. Good morning. I hope you've been enjoying worship. I'm going to give y'all one guess. Which one of these little boys was Daniel's son? Yeah, that's right. So, oh my goodness, that acorn didn't fall far from the tree. And if you're new here, when Daniel closes, you'll probably figure it out. All right. We are in our final week of The Lies We Believe. Before I want to get in there, I've got a couple things I want to share with you. If you are technically savvy, I would encourage you to open up the YouVersion app and to go under events and find our church, and you can follow along with what I'll be sharing today. And matter of fact, if you get that open and you tap the first item, it takes you to, it says, what's hot and happening around Crossroads? And you click that and you're going to see an electronic version of the handouts as you go out. If you didn't get one on your way in, you can grab, and I would encourage you to do that. And before I cover these things, are there any fourth and fifth graders here still in the room? Stand up, fourth and fifth graders. Fourth and fifth graders, come up here and stand on the stage with me. Come on up here. Right here. Come on, everyone up here. There we go. Come on. Yeah, there we go. Come on. Come on, everyone up. All right. So typically, you saw our Crossroads Kids come up here and sing, and normally we do Crossroads Kids birth through fifth grade. But we had to make a decision this summer, and that was that we were going to start leaving the fourth and fifth graders here in the I know this is mean. All right, but we were going to start leaving the fourth and fifth graders here in the service. Why? Because we don't have enough teachers. And here's the truth. We have more teachers today than we've ever had since I've been here pastoring. All right, but this is a great problem that we don't have enough that we can sustain all the way up through fifth grade. And so next, in 2 weeks, we're going to have our Friend and Family Day. And we're going to break the system here. We're going to have more people in this building than is humanly possible. The parking lot it's just going to be another story. And I need a teacher. What I need is six adults that commit to teaching for a month at a time. Because here's what happened. The first week that the kids got dismissed when we started the kids ministry back up after the summer, they all ran out. And then I saw the fourth and fifth graders trickling back in, and they were not happy. And then last week, I saw Aiden here, and I walk up. I said, hey, Aiden, how are you doing? And Mom said, he's mad. I go, why? I go, never mind. I go, what grade are you in? He says, fourth. And I'm like, oh, I know the guy who's responsible for that. So, all right, kids, thank you for being a prop for me this morning.
I don't like singing that much.
That's all right. You don't have to sing. So, I'm putting a guilt on you guys, all right? We need your help. We've got a lot of adults that are helping our children's ministry, but we need more. And so if six of you would fill out one of the cards, the connection cards, and says fourth, just put fourth and fifth on it, I promise you we'll get back in touch with you. And we can start getting the fourth and fifth graders into our children's ministry. Because as good as my preaching is, I think that the age-relevant material, they might get a little bit more out of it. If you got and found the what's up and coming, next week we have Celebrate Recovery Sunday. And so it's going to be a little different than what we do here, but I think you're going to enjoy it. In 2 weeks, we have Baptism Sunday again. Can you believe that? Doesn't it seem like just last week we had baptisms? Yep, and we've got Baptism Sunday coming up, and we have already have a list of folks that are going to be getting baptized. If you have ever made a profession of faith and you've never been baptized by immersion, I would encourage you to fill out one of the decision cards and mark baptism on there. Leave me a number, and I will call you and set up an appointment, and we can sit and talk about that. And because this is the first commandment that we were told to do. This is the first step of obedience that we follow. And then, what else has happened 2 weeks from now? Friends. That's right, Friends and Family Sunday. And so that's the Sunday that we want to break everything. We want to run out of chairs. We want to run out of parking lot. We want to run out of food that we're going to be feeding people after the service. And to do that, I need your help. Not only do I need six people to volunteer to teach fourth and fifth grader, but I need 20 of you to say, I'll help with the food. I need six or seven of you to say, I'll help with parking. And I need people to help set up and tear down. I mean, literally, we need your help. And so, again, if you would fill out one of the cards next week, I'm going to introduce you to the team captains. And then right after the service, you'll have a chance to meet with them before we launch on September 10th and just find out just how many people we can fit in this building on a Sunday. Are y'all ready for that? And I am not above bribery. I mean, look, you see, I use these kids against you. And then on the 10th, you're going to find out, children, we've got five giant inflatables that are going to be here, both wet and dry. We've got snow cones, cotton candy, a dunk booth. I mean, we're feeding everybody. So anyways, on your way out, grab a card. And this is an invite card. It says, would you be my guest? And give this to somebody that you want to invite. Well, maybe you're thinking, you know what? It's hard for me to invite someone to church. And here's what I learned. Andy Stanley had shared this, and it's highly effective, and so I want to share it with you. And that is, if you're looking to bring somebody to church, look for the three knots. All right? There's three knots that you're going to hear. If you hear someone say, I'm not currently in church, ask them. I mean, even if they tell me they're in church, I'd probably invite them. All right? Matter of fact, yesterday, somebody had reached out to me on Messenger and told me that they were going. I said, well, hey, you know, if you just happen to be free on Friend and Family Day. So if you hear that, they're not in church. The second knot is this. If they say something like this, you know what? Life's not going well. And I don't know what would go in front of that or behind that. That is a great opportunity to invite them. If you're excited about being here at Crossroads Church, if you're excited about what God has been doing in your life personally, why not let somebody else experience that? If you came back to Christ and you realize that, you know what, that was the best decision I made, why wouldn't you want someone else who's saying, life's not going well for me right now? That is low-hanging fruit. And the last thing you might hear is they might say something like this, I'm not prepared for this. They may have seven kids and find out number eight's on the way. And they're like, I'm not prepared for this. You know what? Come to Crossroads Church and Ronnie would love to see your family here. All right? You know, especially on Friend and Family Day. They may say that I'm not prepared for this. They're finding out, you know, they're getting married. They may say, I'm not prepared for this. You know, they're about to graduate high school. All of those things, that's a great opportunity for us to reach out and say, hey, why don't you join me at Crossroads Church? All right, here we are in a three-week series called The Lies We Believe and the Truth That Sets Us Free. And so this week's lie number three that we all believe is this, I want what's coming to me. Who's ever said something like that? Come on, we've all done that, right? You might have said it under your breath. You might, I mean, I remember, can you picture little old 7-year-old Ronnie? I did this. I want what's coming to me. My mom had taken me to the dentist that day, and well, there's a long story behind me and dentist, and my dad was stationed at Aberdeen Proving Grounds, and I was so bad when I go to the dentist that they refused to treat me. And so we had to find a dentist off of the base, and so they found one, and when I would go in, I noticed that there was four people waiting. And then they would like manhandle me to the chair and then put a mask over me and put me to sleep. My mom, as we're driving to the dentist appointment, and my dad wasn't with her, and so, you know, she knew this was going to be tough. And she says, "Ronnie, look, if you'll just kind of behave, I will buy you a toy on the way home." Now, my kind of behave was it only took her and two others. All right, but she said after I woke up that, you know, that was the best you've done, Ronnie. Thank you. And so little old seven Ronnie, we're driving home, and mom's running late for something. And I said, "What about my toy?" And she goes, "Ronnie, I don't have time right now." I said, "Mom, I want what's coming to me, and I want it now." All right, and so bless my mom's heart, you know, she should have stopped the car and whooped me, but she didn't like my dad would have. Instead, she pulled into Toys R Us. She runs. She goes, "Look, you got to stay out here. This got to be quick." She runs in and gets the toy. I still remember the toy to this day. It was a little car about this size, and it had a little guy's head, and when you pushed it, it just bounced up and down. Now, folks, I was not excited with that toy. I don't think I ever used that toy again once I got out of the car. But as a seven-year-old, I said, "I want what's coming to me." And I got it. And it wasn't what I really wanted. Have y'all seen or heard about that? They're doing this now. And I know some of y'all parents have tried this. The marshmallow test. The marshmallow test is you put your kids up against the counter, on the counter, and in front of the counter. And you put a marshmallow in front of them. And then you got this all on camera. And then you say, "Look, I'm going to be back in a minute. And if you don't eat that one, when I come back, they can either have two or they can have the whole bag. Doesn't matter." You walk out, and then usually, I saw my daughter-in-law did this with our grandsons, and one of them, you know, was a good holding fast, and the other one wasn't, all right? And they both, well, you know how it goes. We do that in our Christian life. This life is the marshmallow event. God says, "I've got something special for you. If you'll just obey me here on earth, when you get to the other side, it's going to be worth it." And you know what happens? We wait a year, we wait 2 years, and we think, oh, you know, the kids, a minute is like that. I mean, 30 seconds, and they're like, "Holding on, when's mom and dad coming back?" I mean, we're doing that with God with our lives, and we scarf up the marshmallow. We start chasing what we want. Folks, this isn't something new in 2023. This started 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, and I'm just going to read verse 6 this week. I've been telling you this story. Remember how Adam, she gets confronted by Satan? And here is the third confrontation. The first time he questioned God's word, then he denied God's word, and then he changed God's word. And so here's what happened. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, this is the same strategy that Satan uses on all of us. He's got three tactics. He's been using them for 6,000 years very effectively. He used them in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to show you that he used them against Jesus Christ in human form, and he has been doing this in your life over and over again. And in the way that she said, she saw the tree that was good for food. She wanted her own way. The second thing is, and that it was a delight to the eyes. She wanted everything. And then the last thing it says here is, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Now think about this. Eve is already the smartest person on earth. Some of you are thinking about that. There's only one other person that she's competing with, all right? And she was the smartest one. And then Satan says, "Look, if you eat this, it's going to make you wise. God's holding out on you." And she ate the marshmallow. And we're all paying for it. But the truth of the matter is, we all eat the marshmallow. We want to be important. We think that God's holding out on us. And Satan used his strategy, the pride of life, the desire to be wise, the desire to be thought of higher than you think people currently think about you. He doesn't have to change his strategy, guys. It's so easy. Fast forward 4,000 years and join me in the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 9, it says this, and he took him into Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle. Now, what had just happened? He had just shown him all the dominions of the earth, and he's in a moment of time, and then now he transports him to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem, and he says to him, if you are the Son of God, Jesus is about to start his ministry. Jesus has lived a full life of 30 years up to this point, and now he knows it's about time. And Satan didn't, when he spent 40 days fasting and he says, turn these rocks into bread, that didn't work on Jesus. When he said, look at all of this dominion, I will give it to you if you'll just bow down and worship me. Jesus didn't do that. And now here, he tries to use pride on Jesus. And he says, if you're the Son of God. You see, Satan didn't really know. Satan had been trying to kill Jesus since the children of Israel went to Egypt. He tried to kill Jesus when he was born. And if he would have known who Jesus was, he would have tried to kill him. And so now he's wanting to find out, am I going to waste my resources on this guy? Or is he really the Son of God? And the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way just like us. And just like it was hard for Eve when she had the fruit in front of her, and she was promised this will make you wise, just like it's hard for each of us when we encounter the marshmallow that God says, don't do it. I got something better for you. He questions Jesus. If you are the Son of God. Throw yourself down from there. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. Oh, beautiful song. He could have called 10,000 angels. You may have heard that before, where when Jesus is hanging on the cross, the song talks about that. And it says at any point during that time, Jesus could have called on 10,000 angels and they would have responded. But he didn't do that. He didn't take the marshmallow. Because he knew what was on the other side. He knew that your salvation and my salvation and the salvation of billions of people counted on him leaving the marshmallow alone. Counted on him not getting his way. Verse 11, and on their hands they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him. Now I want you to pay attention. The first two lies, when Jesus answered, he said, it is written. It is written. And this time he's saying, it is said. Oh, I don't know if you got what he just said, but he's not talking about that God says this. He says, I am God and I say this. I just answered your question. I am the Son of God. And you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Oh, church. There's one time that God said, test us, and that's the only time we don't test him. We test him with the marshmallows. We test him with the candy-coated sin. We test him with the things that we think that he's holding out on us. And we don't trust him that he's got a better plan for us. We don't trust him that, yeah, the wheels fell off on life, but he needed you broke down beside the highway because somebody who needs to hear about Jesus is coming. And instead, we're worried about being late at the birthday party. Let me tell you the truth. A little further in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and Jesus says these words. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. Now, I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about this a little bit differently than you normally have probably thought about this story or this parable before. Jesus is telling the story about a lost coin, about a lost sheep, and now he's telling a story about a lost son. And he starts off and he says, there's two sons, a younger and an older. And what's interesting is, I think that we're either one of these, and sometimes we've been both of them. Sometimes younger, in our younger years, you know, we tell God, I mean, look at it. I was in Bible college. I quit Bible college to run from God. And where'd I run to? The military, where no one would tell me what to do. That marshmallow didn't taste as good as I thought it was going to taste. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. I don't know about you, but just reading that makes my blood boil. Just reading that, and I'm like, oh. And in this culture, that didn't happen. The younger son come to his dad with that request, and he's going to get ran out with rods and not welcome back. Jesus is telling a different story. He's telling the God's economy story. And here's what he says. And the father divided his property between them. I want what's coming to me. And it wasn't a throat punch that the father gave him. It wasn't a kick in the pants. He gave him what he asked for. A younger son, I don't know how the process went, but he pretty much the value that the father probably had was real estate. And so the son puts that up for sale, gets the money from it. I mean, could you just see the arrogant, cocky, younger son with his bag of money telling dad, I'll see you later. I'm out of this town. I can't wait till I can get out of Centralia. Then he got out into the big city and he lived a life. Now we call this story the prodigal son, and I don't know about you, but I just always thought that word prodigal meant that like wild, bad living. But what it means is without restraint. And I also say this, it's not in the Bible. But the younger son lived a life without restraint. He bought everything he wanted. He bought every candy-coated sin you can think of. But sooner or later, the marshmallow ends and the boy's money ran out. When that money ran out, he didn't go back to dad. He went and got a job. I know that sounds like a four-letter word and it's only three. And the job he got wasn't a very glamorous job. Matter of fact, for a Jewish boy away from home, he probably got the last possible job that he would ever want and probably could get. And he got a job feeding pigs. I imagine when he was feeding those pigs when this first started, he thought about the good times. Oh, ooh, those were some wild times back there. And then he quit thinking about that, and he started thinking about, I think I'm going to be feeding pigs the rest of my life. And then he went from thinking like that to thinking like, you know what? I think the servants at my dad's house eat better than I'm eating right now. They probably live better than I'm living right now. In verse 17, it says, but when he came to his senses. Have you ever come to your senses? I did this with my dad. I was a mama's boy growing up. And then all of a sudden, when I think I was about 23, my dad became the smartest man in the world. He was the dumbest guy from the time I was 16. And about the time I hit 21, somewhere there in 21 and 23, smartest man. When my car broke down, I'm fixing my car over the phone. We didn't have the FaceTime where he could, you know, hey, show me you're doing the wrong nut there, buddy. I didn't find out until the wrong piece came off. This young brother comes to his senses. And listen to what he says. How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough food, but I perish here with hunger? We have that moment, I want what's coming to me, and then we get it. And we get to enjoy it. No, it tastes so good. And sooner or later, the taste goes away. Sooner or later, the resources to acquire the taste goes away. Sooner or later, we'll come to our senses. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. I want you to understand something. Home is not a place. Home is a relationship. See, he thought about the house, but what he really thought about was the relationship with his father. As a matter of fact, he was selling that short because he was telling himself, look, I'll just go and work as a servant. I'll be a hired hand for my dad, and I'll live better than I'm living here. And the reality is many of us come back to Christ the same way. Like, God, I have not lived for you for the last 10 years, and you know what? I'm just going to come into the church, and I'm going to work hard for you. I'm here to tell you that God's going to meet you the same way that this father did. It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. I don't know about you, but when Dave was sharing that story about the little handkerchief, I needed one. And I want you to know, maybe you're on the train today. And it's driving by Crossroads Church. And your father has cut up all the bed sheets, all the pillowcases. And he's hung it on anything that'll hold one. And the question is, are you going to get off the train? Are you going to accept the Father's compassion? Are you going to keep eating the marshmallows? Are you going to keep going back to your candy-coated sin? Folks, we're not long for this earth. And I'm not talking about if anything bad happens. I don't know. I don't have any information. But stock up on toilet paper. I'm joking. Just a little bit. Got a call from a dear friend. His daughter-in-law this morning dropped her purse, and the weapon that was in that went off, and a bullet went up her leg and into her abdomen. 30-year-old, 4 children. Folks, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. Get off the train. The marshmallows, yeah, they taste good, but they are not worth giving up what you're going to experience for eternity with Christ. Amen. Give up the candy-coated sins. You don't even like them, and you know what I'm talking about. Like, soon as you're done with it, like, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Just say no to it. Let me tell you about God. Psalm 106. Psalm 106, if you read the first 14 verses, it goes over the history of Israel. And it talks about how that, you know, God had done this for them and all the mighty works that God had done for them. And folks, I can go through and over the last 4 years, I can recount to you the mighty works that God has done here at Crossroads Church. I could get witnesses about the mighty works that God has done in each and every one of your lives. I've watched your families come to God. We filled up that baptistry time and time again so that your families who've come to God can take that step of obedience. But yet this is where we're at in verse 15. And it says, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Oh, you can say it all you want. God is going to let you have the marshmallow. God is going to let you chase the sin. God is going to sell his portion and give it to you if you ask. He'll give you what you want, but he'll send leanness into your soul. I walked through those years of leanness. While I was in Bible college, I prayed to God. I said, God, get me out of here. 3 days later, my mom calls and says, I need you to come and stay with your dad. I've got to move to Virginia for a couple of months to help your sister out with a pregnancy. To my mom's dying day, she thought she was the reason why I left Bible college and never went back. God gave me my request. And in his mercy, when I run to the military trying to get as far from God as I can, I get to my first duty station over at Scott Air Force Base. I'm on a date with this hot blonde. And after the concert, we kind of say in unison to each other, I got something to tell you. I don't know which one went first, but she shared with me that just the other night at church, she had given her life back to God on that side of the altar. And I said, well, I was going to tell you that I just did that the other night at church on this side of the altar. And in God's mercy, for the next 28 years, he allowed me to serve in churches all across this country. He allowed me to preach in Afghanistan. And even though I ran from him, he prepared me so that in 2019, I could hit the ground in Centralia running. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that same Father is waiting for you. That same Father wants you to get off the train. I don't know what the rest of your life looks like, but I can tell you this, that if you'll live it for God, it will be incredible. Will there be tough times? Yep. You better, matter of fact, if there's not tough times, you might want to get back to God and say, hey, am I going in the right direction? Because right now things are a little too good. Let me ask you this. Do you know somebody that needs to get back with God? I thought there'd be more than that in this church. You stand to your feet. Here's how I want to close. Worship team is going to come forward and they're going to sing God is So Good again. And so here's what I would ask that you would do. Join us. I'm going to be right up here at the altar. There's some folks I need to be praying for. If you ever got off the train and the white handkerchiefs were waiting for you and God has been using you, I would encourage you, who is it that God wants you to be praying for right now? Who is God going to bring into your life? Who is God going to put on your heart and say, you know what, this is the person you need to invite to Friend Day? We do all these crazy things on Friend Day so that somebody who's far from God, who doesn't feel comfortable, who thinks that if they come in here, this ceiling is going to just collapse on everybody, so they might show up. And that might be the first step. That might be the time that they see the white handkerchiefs are on the tree and that their Heavenly Father is waiting for them. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the story about the prodigal son. Lord, I pray for each one of us that, God, if we are that son or daughter right now, Lord, that we would respond to your calling. And God, for those of us who you have been so gracious in that time was years ago, God, put people on our heart that we can bring to you. Put people in our lives that we can tell our story. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
You glad you came to church today? All right. Well, I did not want to finish today with a slow song, so we are going to sing the Father's House. So light, turn the lights up, please, and let's sing from your toes today.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. My story isn't over, my story's just begun. Failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does know. Failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does.
Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house.
The journey's where you are. You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. Failure's never final when the Father's in the room. No,
failure's never final when the Father's in the room.
Father's in the room.
There's the door swing wide. The dead come to life. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Miracles take place. The cynical find faith. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Jericho walls are quaking. Strongholds now are shaking. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Love is breaking through.
Afternoon. I don't know what it is. I'm tired. All right. It's been a powerful sermon today. Man. Woo! I am on fire. Come on, that word was fire. I need y'all to put y'all hands together. Come on. Come on. He came to preach, and that's what he did this morning. Hallelujah. Listen, my uncle used to be a bishop, God rest his soul. And every time I would walk in the door, because he would be like, the prodigal son has returned. And I just never got that until I went and studied to show myself approved and understand what it meant. But yes, it's unchained, untamed, however you look at it. But whatever you need to do, come on back home. This is where he wants you at. This is where he needs you at. He's got something for you that's better than the sugar-coated marshmallow that you're chewing on, all right? I got some gum in my mouth that the flavor's gone, but guess what? I got Jesus, and his flavor's still there, all right? Come on, come on. Give him some praise. Give him some praise. Man, man, man. All right, listen, I won't be before you too long, okay? Oh, he really did the announcements for me, you know, but I'll just go over them again, all right? Okay, next Sunday is Recovery Sunday. Please bring, come on in. That's at 10:45, Friends and Family Day, September the 10th. Come on, let's bring your friends, all your family. I will be inviting people from work. I'll be inviting people from my other job, you know, wherever. You know, just bring whoever you need to. September the 10th is Baptism Sunday. Come on, give a round of applause for that. Yes, amen. And then September the 23rd, under the pavilion, is Build a Bed. So please come out. We can use all hands on deck. Shortly after service, I need all the youth that are participating in the worship team to meet in the cafeteria, gym, auditorium. There's a lot of things you call them nowadays. I don't know, guys. Okay, I'm old. But me, sir, stop talking. That's okay. No. But please, all parents and all children, meet me there. There will be food to feed you guys. We're going to go over the schedule and everything like that. Let's stand and get ready to exit this house today. Man. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just allowing us to be able to gather in your name one more time, Father God, because somebody wasn't able to be here, Father God. And we thank you for just breathing breath in our bodies, Father God, and allowing us to see the day you've created. Father God, as we get ready to exit your house, Father God, I ask that you watch over each and every individual in here, Father God, every person in their family, cover them with the blood, cover them, show them the way, Father God, and we just thank you. In your magnificent name, we do pray, amen, amen, amen.